It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Louisville.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Of course, I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you like what you see. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones at all the usual places, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included Dolly Parton, Rufus Wainwright, Gavin Rosdell of Bush, Johnny Marr from The Smiths, Art Alexakis from Everclear, Paul Rogers of Bad Company. I had The Kills, the filmmakers behind Pain Hustler on Netflix and Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV+. We talked with Japanese House Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Chris Shiflett of The Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Josh Radnor, and so much more. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guests, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Scott Hamilton Kennedy. We're going to be talking about the new documentary called Shot in the Arm. Now, of course, you know Neil. Of course, he's one of the leading astrophysicists as well as an author. And we've seen him on TV, Cosmos, Star Talk, even in Ice Age and Gravity Falls. Scott Hamilton Kennedy, a documentarian known for OT Our Town, The Garden, Fame High, Food Evolution, Shot in the Arm is his latest documentary. And what it does, it takes a look at the anti-vax movement, both before, but especially during the COVID outbreak and the disinformation that that threatens our future. Scott is the writer and director of this documentary. He's going to talk about originally working on a piece about the 2019 measles outbreak before transitioning to what was happening in 2020. And Neil's going to also dig into the social contract we have as a society, or at least we should have with one another. We'll all bat around the idea of a versus mentality that seems to be currently gripping the country, why people are led astray by disinformation, and how history usually has a way of showing us where we need to go. Neil and Scott's also going to touch on the music of the film, from the Wilco song that gives the documentary its title, to how David Bowie's Space Oddity speaks for the bigger themes and hopes. All that and more, let's jump into it. We're talking Shot in the Arm. It's Kyle Meredith with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Scott Hamilton Kennedy. So first off, it's so nice to meet you both on here and to say what a powerful documentary that Shot in the Arm is. And, you know, we were joking about the music. I will say, as a Wilco fan, as soon as I saw that title, I thought, my God, I hope they got the clearance for that, because what a missed opportunity that would be otherwise.
We were grateful that Jeff Tweedy saw the film and he really dug it. So, yeah, he and his team were into it and were honored to have it close the film.
I was worried early in the editing room, you know, this is so important at the end here, but, you know, these music folks can be so persnickety and litigious. Thank you. So, yeah, I feel exactly the same way about it.
Well, it definitely brings it all home. But let's, so the thing about it, I was trying to think of like how I would explain this documentary to someone, because it's about the vaccine, but it's also not about it's not about the vaccine, right? I mean, this is a documentary about, I guess, the lack of trust.
It's bigger than vaccine.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I'd love to know you know, the backstory, how you landed, because I, you know, at the beginning of it, Scott, we see that, you know, your story sort of starts with looking at measles. When did all that start to change for you, when you knew that this documentary was going to be something else?
Sure. I mean, I would have to say that probably what informs every one of my films more than just the pure subject matter, which is obviously extremely important, it's really the wrestling with the human condition, right? Every one of my films is going to be, is looking at how difficult it is for us to wake up in the morning and stick to the plan, really putting it that simply. Like, do we stick to the plan of being a decent father, a decent citizen, a good scientist, a good politician, a good teacher, on and on? Or do we get distracted by and pulled off the rails by our own baggage, by disinformation, by greed, and all these other things? So that's probably, that's the subtext of all of my films. And we had that richly in a story about measles and public health and anti-vaxxers and disinformation, just in the measles, the measles outbreaks of 2019. And it just got more complicated and more interesting and more heartbreaking and more important when it became a COVID film. But thank you for seeing that the COVID of it is really a metaphor to get to these deeper conversations about these decisions we make as people, and seeing the fragility that disinformation and lack of humility and even selfishness can cause to our, not just our human condition, but these foundations of our democracy.
And I think it would have been a just fine movie had it only been about measles.
Yeah.
But yeah, the COVID amplified some of that messaging and brought in a whole other category of mission for what the documentary needed to accomplish, exploring the social contract we have with each other in civilization. Are you an island, or are you a participant in a society that has to trust others for your own safety? All right. And so, yeah, it became a much bigger story to be told, and you're perceptive to catch. I'm glad it means that the film succeeded in referencing these much deeper problems that persist in this country,
yeah,
and around the world.
I mean, I think the hardest part for me, at least, was that to relive it, you know, to relive those moments like that, which was also the most important part for me, was having to relive that while it was still sort of fresh there, because so much of this is still ongoing, right? I mean, we're still, this is not like the story is over. And when you're making a film that's where the story is still in motion, how much, I mean, does that affect the way that you tell it?
That's an interesting question. It's so much a part of the process of being a documentarian. It's sort of like, I guess I'll use a surfing or ocean metaphor, that you're going to be tossed around and you have to get back on the board and try and find your way again. So
there's a book version of this, which is no book ever gets finished. It only comes due.
That's right. That's right. It's the same thing. So and my metaphor for documentaries is also the jigsaw puzzle metaphor, that it's like having five thousand piece complicated puzzles all dumped into one box, but you don't have any of the pictures. So, you know, there's these amazing, amazing, beautiful pieces that are going to come together. You have to figure out a way to put those together in something that hopefully makes sense and is engaging and entertaining. So it is sometimes exhausting and terrifying to take these turns in a story, because you're like, okay, I think I have the story figured out reasonably here for a little while, and you get hit with it. But that's the double-edged joy of making a documentary. It is an adaptation of the truth, and we have to ride with that truth as where it goes.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astepro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astepro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Scott Hamilton Kennedy and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The things we're still trying to make sense of, right? Why people think the way they think. Why? Mm-hmm. And how easy it is. I used to think, you know, I remember, I think it was when President Obama was in office and he was talking about trying to get the internet to more places to give people more access to the information. And now I look at that and I go, oh, maybe that wasn't the best idea. But I say that partially tongue in cheek on that. But as you all are telling this story, you know, it's just you have these people that seem like they just hate being told what to do, whatever it is. And the way science had been politicized, how much of this do you all feel is just I don't want to take it to ground level here, but has to do with just versus mentality.
Versus. Yeah. So I would say, if I understand your question,
you might need to find that for the non-scientists. Versus, what's versus mentality?
The versus mentality, just, you know, like there has to be two sides, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. False, A versus
false,
B.
False equivalence. Yeah. False
yeah, equivalence. A versus B. Or a false dichotomy, right? It's false to even construct it as a versus in the first place. So I would say, I've learned empirically, but I think research and education has verified that you can't, if people are deeply entrenched, you just can't tell them they're wrong. That doesn't work. They just dig their heels in more deeply. They're part of a community. It makes sense to them. It makes them feel good. And so you need different tactics. You can't just be an educator facing the chalkboard writing the answers on the board in front of them. You have to meet them where they are, understand what might be tangled mental pathways between what is true versus what they want to be true, mm-hmm. and navigate that. And my role in this, because I'm not a medical professional, I'm an astrophysicist, but I'm also an educator. And I was able to bring what I've learned and what I've read and what I understand goes on in the human mind to the storytelling, the tactics of the storytelling, not the storytelling itself, that's Scott's expertise, but at what point does the storytelling get into you intellectually or emotionally? And can we do that in a way that can maximize impact? So that's what's really going on there. And yeah, ideally, this wouldn't even be necessary, because the school system, K through 12, K through 16, would have classes on critical thinking. We'd have classes on statistical interpretation of information, so that when you come out the other end, you're not duped by people interpreting it for you. You understand the role of a scientific consensus, and you can make the best decisions you can in the interest of civilization itself.
And if I can add on that a little bit, there's a, while we want to tell, like I said before, my definition of a documentary is an adaptation of the truth. So it is my adaptation, it's my team's adaptation, including me, but it has to be founded in the truth. That's like not just important, it's absolute. While some of my fellow documentarians can fail at that and go towards their bias, while we're going to tell the whole nuanced truth, and it's very interesting to have two sides in that, somebody who believes in the scientific method and somebody's fomenting disinformation, that doesn't mean I have a false equivalency of saying that they are equal in terms of their import. They are equal in terms of their, they might be close to equal in terms of their import to me telling a fascinating story, right? That's complicated, but they are not equal in terms of who you should believe. And what we try to, what I try to do as a storyteller is let the audience come to their own conclusions, similar to the way that Neil is so brilliant at being an educator. Let the audience come to making their own decisions about what they're seeing here. And
that way they take ownership of what they decide. Mm-hmm. And it's not because someone is standing behind them, beating them on the head.
Yeah. But like, from my point of view, I know what I want them, what I hope that they take aside, because it's again, that social contract, right? It's that social contract that it all comes down to. But then you have people like Wakefield, like Robert Kennedy Jr., that have become heroes to some people, you know, that tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's where I go. I mean, I think there is a woman who does kind of change her mind by the end of the film, right? Who comes around by the end. Yes. Like, do you have faith that that's going to happen? Because God, I hope so, right? I hope so. I'm not projecting there, please.
It's so just to get clarity on that, that's Lynette. And she is a humble, kind mother who has sadly also been led astray by a lot of disinformation. And she doesn't completely change her mind about some of her fears around vaccines. Some of them are still not necessarily scientifically based, but she did change her mind about decency. And she changed her mind that she saw Del Bigtree, one of the anti-vaxxers that you see through the course of the film, that while she used to believe him, we see her on his show, that she used to want to believe in what he's saying, that she saw that he revealed to her that he's a blowhard, that he's a used car salesman, that he's selfish, it's all about him, right? And she decided to have Dr. Paul Offit on her podcast to have a conversation, even if they don't agree on everything, to try to have a decent conversation, speak to each other respectfully. And that is a huge step forward and one that we need desperately right now.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Scott Hamilton Kennedy and Neil deGrasse Tyson. So backing all the way up, I was remembering that even starting, of course, with the telling of the Spanish flu, I mean, well beyond the stories told in this documentary here, I think that's what I come around to a lot, because just about with anything going on, you can look back in history and you can see that we've done this so many times over and over and over. And I don't know if you all experience the same way, but that ends up being sort of the base frustration. It's like, we don't have to argue so much about this. We've already been here, and this is how it goes.
No, it's shocking to see those photographs of people wearing masks. And if you don't wear a mask, you're going to go to jail. And then also people denying masks in those images from over 100 years ago. I mean, how does the saying go? If history repeats itself, and if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So there's a lot of ways that felt like the correct opening to the film. And then having one of our main characters, Karen Ernst, make the point of her great-grandmother dying in the Spanish flu, and she thought that only happened because some people believed disinformation back then, but now she's seen it as almost endemic to what we're dealing with as a society. It's hard to not get saddened by so many elements of this film, but it was also important to us to see, and it's through the characters, that there is also so much hope, right? There's so many more people that believe in science. There's so many more people that believe in decency. There's so many more people that believe in the social contract than don't, especially speaking across the island. I know we're in a difficult time for talking, seeing so many people from the conservative side that are not believing in science, and they're going, I'm going to call it a transition. I don't have an issue with disagreeing with people about the complexities of how to run this country, but I hope we can get back to agreeing about more of the foundational things about what is verifiable truth and what is decency and the importance of the social contract, which has always been there across both sides of our politics. So I hope we're going through hopefully going through a difficult transition period as a country, and that we're going to get to the other side of it. And we have before, and science has been an important
part. I hope it's only a difficult transition. Not that you hope it's a difficult transition.
Say it again.
Yeah. Just you said, I hope it's a difficult transition. You mean you hope it's only just a transition?
Thank you. It's only a difficult transition. We'll get to the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's important to remember. Right. And I try to remember that most of the time. It's like, whatever we're in is not the finality. It's like, it is something in motion, as we've said before. And there's that futurist Ray Kurzweil, which I don't know how much I kind of buy into the, I mean, do or don't, it's interesting to hear about. And even he was saying, it's like, no, everything, we're going to get past this. And I'm like, sure. Okay. I'll jump in that boat because that feels good right now.
Well, science gives us hope. I mean, Neil, you can say it better than me, is that science has always helped us go forward. There's just, I mean, my daughter's seventh grade science teacher said a beautiful thing to her class. She said, please tell me something in your life that doesn't involve science. That's another part of the reset that I'm talking about, is that we have a reset about having the humility to say, not cherry pick when we want to believe science, not cherry pick when we want to say, oh, I found a little piece of science that goes with my confirmation bias or my cynicism, and say, oh, look, these are all the ways that I'm believing in science. Where's the disconnect when I decide that I don't want to believe in those same systems? And so asking for humility is not an easy thing, but we can get there if we agree that we want to move towards decency and get back to trying to see where we're so much more alike than we are different in these questions.
That is perfectly said. And again, you all do that so well. You tell that so well. You also get Bowie in there. He's my North Star when it comes to music. And I didn't think that was the obvious one, because we get Space Oddity. And sure, Neil, we know you from, again, talking about the cosmos. How did you end up with that song and why?
Well, that song came to me naturally through the process of my daughter being involved in a choir that did a remote version of it. So it was a part of the process. She was going to film it, and I filmed her with my smartphone doing it. It was such a beautiful song. Bowie is clearly, we miss him greatly, and is just a musical genius and a poet and so many things, an entertainer, a storyteller, an authentic artist, well said. And the themes of the song really started to kind of capture what we were living through, and became a beautiful kind of ending to the film of saying, how are we going to go forward? Are you going to hear us, logic? Right? Are you going to hear us, decency? It's given me goosebumps remembering. And then it became just a beautiful bed. And thank God the Bowie estate saw the film and loved it and wanted it to be in the film. So we are grateful that it's in there.
Well, I loved it. And congratulations, guys. This is an important story that you've told. I'm so grateful that you did it. And I'm so grateful that you both took time to talk about it today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your interest.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Scott and Neil. The new documentary is called Shot in the Arm. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. 3 brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, at NPR, Consequence, of course, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours
of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent episodes had the music of Simon and Garfunkel, Bill Withers, Sly and the Family Stone, T-Rex, Lenny Kravitz, Casey Musgraves, Belly, The Clash, The Human League, Fishbone, Laura Meesh, The Avett Brothers, Alanis Morissette, Otis Redding, Patty Griffin, Radiohead, The National, Sade, Jack Antonoff's band Bleachers, Ben Harper, Tracy Chapman, Iron and Wine, The Black Keys, Sam Phillips, and it had my interview with the duo Laney, L-A-N-Y. Just an example of what you get every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, when you listen at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consequence Podcast Network.
When you start getting boring, we can get distracted. What's that?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.